Welcome to the White Paper. This isn't just another tech podcast. This is where we pull back the curtain on emerging technology and blockchain, where we don't just talk about the future, we break it down before it happens. I'm your host, Nicklin Decker, a venture capitalist out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But before that, I was the guy in the shadows investigating corporate fraud, embezzlement, and intellectual property theft for Fortune 500 companies. For over 17 years, I tracked hidden assets, exposed fraud rings, and worked alongside federal agencies, district attorneys, vice units, and more, all in the pursuit of the truth. And that's what this podcast is about, truth. In the White Paper, we cut through all the noise, break down blockchain, and make sense of the tech that's changing our world. No jargon, no hype, just real conversations about how emerging technology is impacting business, finance, and everyday life. I'm here to bring clarity where there's confusion and to speak in plain truth, because in Oklahoma, we say what we mean and we mean what we say. So buckle up. The future's coming fast. Let's make sense of it together. Welcome back to the White Paper. I'm your host, Nicklin Decker. Today, we're taking a hard look at why traditional financial risk models failed catastrophically and how emerging technology could change that very outcome. Because history has a way of repeating itself. Let's look back. Three of the biggest financial disasters in history: the 2008 Lehman Brothers collapse, the 1998 LTCM crisis, and the 2022 FTX meltdown. They all had warning signs that were ignored. So why do these patterns keep happening? But more importantly, could we have prevented them? Let's take a look. The LTCM collapse was totaled at $4.6 billion. Lehman Brothers, $691 billion. And FTX, just a few years ago, was $8 billion. Each of these collapses, they followed a pattern, a very intricate pattern, but it exposed the flaws in traditional risk models. So let's get to the root of what caused Lehman and LTCM. They were using a model called Value at Risk, or VAR, V-A-R. With this model, the flaw it had, it ignored tail risk, which is the probability of extreme unpredictable events, by assuming financial crises were so rare. It also failed to account for liquidity risk. What happens when no one's buying? The traditional models ignored what happens when market freezes, leaving institutions exposed. They also used the Black-Scholes model, where it assumes that liquidity, it's always going to be available, but it wasn't. And then that model just ignored volatility spikes, which are crashes that break normal market behavior. And then let's go on to FTX. FTX had no risk model, no proof of reserves, and no on-chain transparency. The result? FTX collapsed, just like Lehman, but only faster. This cycle, it keeps repeating because our financial models aren't designed to adapt. But what if they could? How do we prevent another Lehman Brothers, LTCM, or FTX? Maybe the technology lies in understanding human behavior. Now, behind every technology, there's mathematical equations that drive this. In software, in code, everything is mathematical. This is where three equations come into place: DSSIM, CMR, and DCME. All new mathematical models that integrate human emotion, or what's known as sentiment value, with real-time analytics. So So let's look at a case study where this was used. Okay, let's look no further than Bitcoin. As you know, Bitcoin was created to be a decentralized alternative. We've already discussed this in the past episode. It was designed to be a revolutionary financial system, but the irony of it all is that institutional adoption of Bitcoin, it introduced the same systemic risks that plague traditional markets. How does that work? Well, institutional adoption, the equation shows that short term, it stabilizes Bitcoin by increasing liquidity and reducing volatility. Long term, that dominance threatens Bitcoin's structure, its decentralization, which introduces new systemic risks. How? Well, the equation, the algorithm, it led us through market events, which showed market manipulation, geopolitical interference or influence, and then herd mentality. So while its core design was, and it remains decentralized, the institutions and the ETF adoption, they're changing how it behaves in financial markets, making it vulnerable to the very same systemic risks as traditional markets. Now, history shows that financial contagion, which is where a crisis in one market, it spills over into another, it's not just random, it's triggered. Now, Bitcoin, once purely decentralized, it's now deeply intertwined with financial strategies. Countries, corporations, hedge funds, they all manipulate Bitcoin's price movements through short selling, whale trading, and coordinated liquidations. This is where those three mathematical equations, the algorithm comes in. Empirical data confirms that institutional movements and sentiment-driven trading strategies influence Bitcoin's price behavior, mirroring trends seen in traditional markets. So let's go through each of these equations and what results they provide. So DSSM, it detected Bitcoin's market manipulation because Bitcoin doesn't move based solely on supply and demand. It moves based on perception, sentiment, and coordinated manipulation. It tracks short interest in Bitcoin across futures markets, ETF liquidations, and leverage derivatives. It showed and detected unnatural shorting patterns, identifying institutional attempts to suppress the price of Bitcoin. And then the model correlated what are called negative sentiment spikes. These are caused by, YouTube, news media, and also government statements with sudden price drops. For example, in May of 21 was the Bitcoin crash. Bitcoin dropped from 60,000 to 30,000 in just weeks. This crash was triggered by negative news or sentiment. This news came from China banning Bitcoin mining, and then Elon Musk announcing that Tesla would no longer accept Bitcoin. Now, this model identified that institutional short interest, it spiked before news broke, suggesting that whales manipulated the market using sentiment or our human emotion as a weapon. Had it been fully integrated into our risk models, investors could have seen the coordinated attack before it happened. Now the next one, CMRN. CMR, it identifies systemic risk, which showed that institutions accumulate large portions of Bitcoin, a large share of its limited amount of supply. And it showed that its behavior was shifting. It tracked the concentration of Bitcoin across institutional holders like ETFs, hedge funds, and centralized exchanges. And it analyzed Bitcoin's liquidity, how much Bitcoin is actually available for trading versus locked in institutional wallets. And then it detected whale-driven market shifts, predicting when institutional dominance would make Bitcoin behave more like a traditional financial asset. Now, Bitcoin ETFs, they were supposed to make it more accessible, but what's actually happened? And that's what this new model, this new algorithm shows. Institutional funds now control massive, massive portions of Bitcoin supply. CMR predicts that as Bitcoin supply concentrates in fewer hands, market manipulation will increase and decentralization will erode. So Bitcoin is becoming less resistant to financial crises, just like gold was manipulated through ETFs. Now, regulators, they failed to see Bitcoin as a systemic risk. But an algorithm, a mathematical equation, empirical evidence from CMR proves why they are wrong. So let's go to the third one, DCME. It simulates financial contagion in Bitcoin markets. Now, what this showed us is that Bitcoin isn't just a store of value. It's a global financial asset that interacts with the traditional markets, meaning the traditional markets has influence on it, and it now has influence on traditional markets. So DCME mapped out Bitcoin's interconnectedness with traditional finance. It tracked how Bitcoin movements impact hedge funds, stablecoins, and stock markets. The model simulated liquidity crisis, showing what would happen when a large Bitcoin liquidation, what would occur, and how those ripple effects would take place in global finance. So DCME, it incorporates sentiment-based risk. It analyzes human emotion, like FOMO, fear of missing out, panic, and herd mentality. These all, every single one of those drives market instability. So think of when you're on TikTok or YouTube, or you're seeing tweets from CEOs raving on about Bitcoin. That's sentiment-based risk. So if a major Bitcoin ETF collapse, it happens, DCME predicts that the contagion, remember how I said one market can affect to another? Well, now Bitcoin's intertwined in our own market. It would spread to institutional portfolios, triggering forced liquidations. Simulation also showed that stablecoins could depeg, leading to a broader crypto market instability. And then herd mentality would kick in. Retail investors would panic sell, further deepening this crash. So what this part of the model proved was that Bitcoin can now be used as a systemic destabilization tool, just like in traditional financial assets. So you ask yourself, what if we had this technology? What if it existed back in 08? Well, DSSIM could have flagged the mortgage-backed security manipulations. CRM could have identified over-concentration of risk in major banks. And DCME could have simulated the systemic collapse before it even happened. The failures of the Lehman Brothers, LTCM, and FTX, they weren't just failures of bad financial decisions. They were failures of outdated risk models. And this means that new technology, it brings new growth, new transparency, new stability. Now, the only question is now, will regulators adopt these technologies before the next financial crisis? So I want to thank you. Thank you for joining me on this deep dive into emerging tech and how it's going to change our risk models. And I'll leave you this with this question. Would you trust a financial system that prevents collapses instead of just reacting to them? If you've ever questioned whether financial crises, they're truly unpredictable, or if technology could have prevented them, this episode today has shown that we can learn from past mistakes to avoid repeating them in the future. Thank you again for tuning in. Do you have questions about emerging tech or how technology can improve your life? Email me at thewhitepaper.io and let's figure it out together. If you found this episode valuable, please subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave a review. The world is changing, and we are ready.